Real people.
Real celebrities.
Real talk.
Join the Breakfast Club.
Blast off in your
weekday
head.
Morning, 6 to 10.
Yep. The world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
He turned it on, Joe. Okay?
I mean, that was here quietly. Like,
nah, I don't like to talk to guests before the interview, you know? I like to wait until the interview starts.
That was so
to
weird. He wasn't talking to you at all. And then
looking at my phone. Until the interview started. But we got Jill Scott here.
What's up, y'all?
Julie from Philly.
Good to see you.
Yes, it's great to have Jill Scott here. And I will say, Charlamagne went to go see you perform in Brooklyn. I was surprised. Because we can't get him to go
First
nowhere.
Of all, I've seen you perform at least 15 times. Because I told you this before, but I used to go to the Sugar Water Festival all the time when it was you and Erykah Badu and Flowetry and Queen Latifah. Like, I've seen you perform countless amounts of times.
But not in Brooklyn. Let me tell you something.
This not is in Brooklyn. I had no choice, though. It's one of those things. My wife was like, hey, Jill Scott is. Matter of fact, she wanted to go to the concert in Jersey, but I was busy, so. It happened in Brooklyn, so my man Kev Holiday made that happen for me, so we went.
That was monumental.
Yes.
Congratulations on the new album.
Thank you. Thank you so
much. I like Cruising. I think it's my favorite song on there. I also like Fool's Gold, and I like Closure. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about Closure for a second.
Okay.
Because I was having a conversation with one of my friends, right? And that song is really about like having sex with somebody for the last time for closure. Mm-hmm. You really think that's a good idea?
I think it can work.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen. Any port in a storm is where I am with it. If it could work, it's worked.
But do you think it's possible though? Because it's like you do it that one last time. You're like, man, I can't let this go.
And plus, when you do it that last time, you're trying to do it like the best you've ever done it, so that he feel like, okay, I don't want to.
Maybe, maybe not. For me, I've had that experience, and that last one was not the best one.
Yeah, like, you always
because
I'm trying too hard.
But my feet were already on my way out. You know what I mean? I knew this was it. It's a wrap. It's the last time and making a conscious decision and then actually saying, all right, I'm going to give my body this one more time. But making that conscious decision, I didn't second guess or regret or anything.
What's the point of that, though? Like, why can't a phone conversation just be the end of it?
Sometimes phone calls work with some people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I said, any port in a storm. When you're trying to get away from something that's not necessarily beneficial to you, if the conversation, you had that conversation, look, we're not going to do this anymore. You know, it was great, but, you know, I want more for my life. And then here you come again.
Kissing on your neck.
Yeah, or smelling like that.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden you change your mind. And next thing you know, you're kind of right back where you started. And then you got to go through the whole thing again. Mm-hmm. When somebody has that thing, it's really challenging to walk away from it.
But you know, that same thing that you used to love when you was in love and now you know you don't want to be with them anymore is the same thing that will end up irritating you.
Yeah. But this was not about a love relationship. Right. This is about two people that are friends, homie lover friends, if you will, and we have a great time. Mm-hmm. But in order to get more, in order to have a well-balanced relationship, you know, a participant in your life, not just somebody that comes in and makes it good real quick and disappears. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about a partnership. Right. In order to have that, you got to make way. You got to make room.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my opinion. I really feel like you gotta clear some stuff out, you know, in order to let that in. Mm-hmm. That's the reason for the closure. Because other than that, you still got this other thing that can hold you back from where you really want to go.
You know, I was watching your the documentary on Century. I don't know if the documentary was like you perform a live woman.
Yeah.
And you seem like you're in a great space with love. Like you was talking about love and it was like your eyes were watering. I'm like, well, who is banging Jill's back out that got her feeling like that?
Well, I can say this. It's more than sex. Way more than that. And that's the goal. That's the game. That's the end game. You know, more than just my physicality being appeased or pleased or stimulated or titillated. It's more than that.
Mm.
You know, it's the rest of it. To have a partner that's on your team that will hold up their end, plus yours if you need it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. There's a difference.
And you're willing to hold up their end if they need it.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful give and take.
No, you was talking like this person had killed somebody for you before. Like you was, like you loved this individual you was talking about. Like I'm sitting on the couch like, damn.
I really don't recall talking about anyone, though.
You was talking in general about love. You was like, you know, in love, when you find that one, and you looked away from the camera, you was like, I'm like, damn.
But, this, but that's, that is a part of observation as well. I'm a voyeur. I watch people. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, I met a musician the other day. I loved watching him talk to his wife. Mm. I loved looking at her when he wasn't looking.
Right. Mm.
I loved watching her look at him. I was like, this is what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know, I'm just paying attention to what I see, and I'm seeing a beautiful resurrection of relationships, mm-hmm. people that genuinely are about that life for each other. And they have their stuff with them, but it's their stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? So what I'm kind happy of
space,
to see it.
What kind of space were you in doing this album?
What kind of place was I in? I was in a couple of places.
Yeah, because I hear different things.
Yeah.
Like the Fool's Gold.
Well, the album is like a journal, mm-hmm. you know, so if you've ever kept a journal, I have since I was 12. But when you look through it, you've got, sometimes you're every page, every day you're writing in your journal. And then sometimes you miss months.
Right.
You know, so I'm strolling through the journal, looking through, and I see this part of myself. Mm-hmm. And I see this part of myself. And that's kind of how the album really worked.
Okay, different yeah. parts of your life.
Different pieces, and it's not necessarily my life. Like I said, I'm a voyeur.
Right.
I listen to a lot of women. I listen to older women. I listen to younger women. I listen, and I listen to men, too. People talk to me for whatever reason. I let them.
Oh, mm-hmm. I think you'd make an amazing life coach.
Thanks.
An amazing, like, psychiatrist-type person you would go to tell your problems and then you would give advice to.
Well, that was one of the plans.
Before music?
Yeah.
Oh, you went to school for psychology?
I was about to.
Really?
And changed at the last minute and decided to teach English.
Really?
Yeah.
What made you want to be a psychiatrist to begin with? Just because, well, because you enjoyed talking to people?
Well, I enjoyed listening. Mm-hmm. And I thought that I could help. You know, if I have a balanced perspective on stuff, that I might be able to help somebody.
That's interesting. I went to school and I took psychology and it was too hard and I dropped that. That's the only class I ever dropped because it was way harder than I thought it was going to be. And then I ended up being an English major right after that.
I did that
you
too.
You too, look at that.
When you didn't go to no college.
When I fake tried to go to college, that was my major, psychology. And I bought the book, but I never went to class. So I just ended up reading the book.
Those books were expensive.
Yeah, that psychology book was like this thick.
Mad thick.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if this class is for me.
Those books are really expensive, which is one of the reasons why I know you guys are. But I ended up starting Blues Babe Foundation because I wanted to pay for people's books.
Right.
Like, I couldn't afford my books. I could afford school. I could get to school. Was I wearing the same clothes a couple times a week? Yeah, you know, I'm trying to flip them a little bit.
And you're trying to find those secondhand books? Like, I got to find a secondhand so I can get it cheaper?
Right, right. That was a lot. That was a lot.
You never thought about scripting just to make ends meet? A lot of people do that.
No, I clean toilets.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Now, you said something very interesting in the Huffington Post I read. You said being an artist, you was talking about Bill Cosby, you said being an artist and a black man that is beloved is one of the most dangerous positions that you can be in. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, I remember the day when I was in New Jersey and I saw every kid with an Allen Iverson jersey on. Mm-hmm. Every kid, everywhere. And I thought to myself, he's in trouble.
Right.
He's in trouble. When you are looked past your skin and at your talent, when you look past your skin and at what you bring to something that people love, that means you're beloved. Mm-hmm. Beyond the color of your skin or your race and all of that. And it was maybe a month later that he was on the cover of the Daily News in Philadelphia with his braids out. And he was about maybe two shades darker on the cover. And then they had vilified him, mm-hmm. you know, that quick. Mm-hmm. Bringing a lot of light and attention to the prospect of a human being simply being a human being coming from a black man is dangerous. In my opinion, look at what happened to Michael Jackson. Look at what happened to Kevin Clash. I'm talking about Elmo. How he's so beloved by everyone. I'm not trying to dismiss the fact that people, that folks have done some terrible, foul things, with the understanding that men all have proclivities. Rich ones, smart ones, dumb ones, backwoods ones, all men have proclivities. That just means something that's natural to you that you like that's probably really bad.
Yeah. So we forget our heroes are human.
Forget that they're human.
Yeah.
But what I see is that our heroes, and please understand, I'm from North Philly. Bill Cosby's is from North Philly. That man was like a father to me. He showed me everything about life that I did not see in North Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Not just because I watched the television shows, but I did watch them. I watched The Cosby Show. I watched Fat Albert. Different World made me want to go to college. College? Ain't nobody around my way going to no college. I appreciate and respect that legacy. Still, that's a man.
Mm-hmm.
Still, that's a man. And I've always been about that with fame and famous people. But I felt the need to remember the Kevin Clash. And the Michael Jacksons, and how people were really trying to destroy that legacy. What's the dude's name? Phil Spector.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He killed a woman, tried and convicted, but he's still in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. If I'm not mistaken, Elvis liked him young. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that this is right. I'm saying that all men have proclivities, and I really feel that whatever is done to some, due to all. Don't decimate the legacy of the good. You trying to tell me that regardless of how much good I do in the world, if I do something bad, just something terrible, everything else gets pushed away, you forget?
And you think this is something that happens with black men, and then you look at somebody like a Phil Spector, who still is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, even though he murdered someone. And
Woody Harrelson is another good
example. Woody Harrelson, yes, had sex with his stepdaughter or whatever she was to him.
Woody
was his adopted daughter.
Woody Allen. Woody Harrelson. Not White Men Can't Jump.
Yeah.
My fault. Woody Allen. My bad. Right.
Yes, they had an adopted daughter and he ended up marrying her.
Yes.
And what was it? Great Balls of Fire? Wasn't that movie? Jim, who was it?
Buddy Holly.
I mean, it has happened a lot in history, and now they're saying with Bill Cosby, get all his TV shows up the air. Spellman no longer wants
his scholarship program.
They took down his statue.
I think that's whack. The reason I think that's whack is because, like what Jill just said about Different World inspired her to want to go to college. And my homegirl, Jazz Fly, she has this saying where she says, we have to learn to separate the art from the artist. The art helped and benefited a lot. The artist may be flawed, but the art made you want to go to college.
Wagner, a notorious racist, but incredible musician and composer. Mm-hmm. I mean, the history and list of men with dirty, terrible things. And guess what? The more money you get, the more easily and more apt you are to do the worst things. Mm-hmm. Because they've always been in you.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. If nobody's helped you or guided you or stopped you from being the worst you could be, and they're lifting you up and just, you know, allowing you to do the worst things, you're going to do it probably.
So what do you think should happen then? In that case, in a Bill Cosby situation?
Oh, what do I think should happen to him?
Yeah, like what should happen? What should the repercussions be? I mean, a lot of these alleged crimes were committed so long ago, it's past statute of limitations.
Yes.
I think the best thing for Mr. Cosby to do right now is pass away, because the slander will turn to sympathy just like that. They did the same thing to Michael. They vilified Michael.
Yes.
Then when Michael passed, he was the hero again. That's what they say, though. They say you either die the hero or live long enough to become a villain.
I was told, I don't know if it's true or not, that the first person to accuse Michael Jackson of their father committed suicide.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I just heard that. I don't know if it's true or not. All that
I'm saying.
But
that's good, because this is a show that's not based on facts, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine, Joe. All I'm saying is that looking at the big picture was the reason that I could not make any real decisions other than love.
Right.
if it's your father, if it's your dad, and 50, let's say 60, let's say 100 people say something terrible about your father, the one that's raised you, the one that's been there, the one that took care of your skin knees. And I'm not saying this because I saw the man on television. Bill Cosby has been good to me, officially good to me. North Philly girl, doing well, reaching out. How you doing? You need anything? Let me give you some advice. Let me share something. You know,
did he ever share a cappuccino with you?
No, but he had his daughter drive to New York to get something for my throat, and I tore it up. I drank it every day. It's hard. You know what I'm saying?
And plus, he hasn't said, yes, I've done.
Well, he kind of did in the deposition.
But even in the deposition, it wasn't like he thought.
You came out and said you had to stop defending him, though, because
it doesn't look good.
I mean,
my mind is present. My heart did not want to believe anything negative about someone I love and admire and respect so much. But my mind is still present and was like, damn it. There's no way around this. This looks bad. It smells bad. It tastes bad. This is bad.
You got a lot of backlash from social media. I was like, this is Jill Scott y'all trying to slander.
But listen, people make mistakes. Sometimes we misspeak. We can change our mind. We can change our view on something.
We can get more information. I was defending them too.
You can get more information and more facts and be like, you know what? Maybe there's more to this than I originally knew.
It happens every day.
Right. It happens all the time.
You don't know something, then you find something out and you find out some more. All I know is that I'm a human being, and my love ain't watery. And just because it got hot, you know what I'm saying, it didn't just jump and dissipate or evaporate. People may not understand it. You don't understand. I'm a person. And this man, if I could explain how many people die in North Philly, especially when I was growing up, if I could explain the differences between myself, and I felt like so many other people, I felt very alone.
Right.
And I saw someone just making strides, knocking down doors. It was inspiring to me. And I would hope that if the shoe was ever on the other foot, that something was being said about me that was terrible, horrible, vile, and disgusting. I would hope that somebody who's ever claimed to appreciate, love, and respect me would at least be like, wait. I'm not jumping to anything. I'm a hold tight.
And you better hope they got a lot of Twitter followers. Get that word out there.
You know, I would hope that I could be treated the way I would want that I treat other people.
How do you deal with social media? Do you ever feel like you want to disconnect? Because when you listen to your music and you hear you talk, I don't feel like you're the social media person, but I see you going back and forth sometimes with these trolls.
Sometimes. I mean,
it baffles me because I was just saying this out there. I was like, I don't see how somebody could not like Jill Scott. I just don't get it. Like, amazing singer, great songs, 15 years in the game, always minding your business. It's not like you be in the middle
always
of
always trying to uplift people.
Typically, yeah. I try.
Mm-hmm. If somebody mess with your man, you'll walk over there and snap. I mean, you are what women, we go through the same things you go through.
I mean, I don't think we live in the era of you getting back what you give out no more. I don't believe that.
I burped. I get it back. I get it back when somebody yells from across the street or somebody behind me is like, appreciate you. Thanks, Jill. Because they're not stopping my life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Fanaticism is different from respect. Mm. Right. Fanaticism goes hard, and it's what they need, not what will make this a real moment.
Mm.
It's like, you know, and I experience that occasionally more than I want to. But then I have these moments where somebody is telling me what this song did or how it affected something in their lives. I gave birth to this song. Mm-hmm. I made my child to this song.
Amen.
When my father died, we played this song.
Mm.
He loved this. And I have those kind of moments where I'm so grateful to have any impact on someone's life. I'm like, wow. I get to do this.
That's what music is supposed to be for.
I would think. I would think. And I appreciate those moments.
Why did you title this album Woman?
I've been waiting to get here for a long time.
As a woman?
as a female.
Okay.
I've been waiting to get to this point where I'm grown. I'm going to say what I feel. I'm going to say what I believe. I'm going to use my wisdom that I've had enough life experiences that I feel like I could, you know, really impact somebody younger mm-hmm. than me or maybe somebody the same age. I associate myself with elder women mm-hmm. because they've got great stories. They've got great advice. They call me on my stuff. Ooh, they call me on my stuff.
They call and check you.
What?
You gotta have the OGs.
Like, check you on stuff like what?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
How dare you defend Bill?
No.
Not just that. I'm just no. talking about real life. Like, what? What does...
What I got from my elder sister about the Bill Cosby situation, she said, I don't agree with you, but you have the right to feel the way you do.
True indeed.
Now, what the rest of the world didn't know is at the same time, my father has dementia. Mm-hmm. So I'm losing my dad.
Right.
And I'm losing my dad.
Mm.
At the same time. I'm not talking about, like, I'm not looking for anybody to feel sorry for me. I'm just saying I am a person. There's stuff that happens in the course of a life that somebody else doesn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what it is.
What about relationships? Do you have elder women that call you out on things that you do in relationships that you need to do differently?
Absolutely. They'll stop me. I'm like, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm like, don't do that.
You fall in love? Do you fall in love quick?
I used to.
You should never fall in love. When you fall, you get hurt. You're supposed to grow in love with people.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. It takes time.
Absolutely.
It takes time. But you kind of, my grandmother told me that the man is the stem and the woman is the flower. And he must always be looking up at her.
And the stem gets stuck in the flower, too.
Basically.
Yeah.
You feel me? So, but he's the root. And she's the blossom from that. And she always told me that the men know before we do. You guys know. At some point, tell me, am I?
No, you're absolutely right.
Did you look at your wife and say,
absolutely,
that's my wife?
Yes.
I know exactly when that happened with Charlamagne, too. When did he tell you? He was laying in here on the floor, almost dead from dehydration and exhaustion, running around, doing whatever he was doing. And
wasn't none of them hoes calling me, Jeff.
He goes like this. I got to get my girl back. I'm getting married. It's over. I'm done. I remember that.
I gotta
no
get
one
my
cared.
Girl back.
All them girls that was in the club drinking your bottles. Right. They ain't care about you. But when you was laying on, me and Envy didn't even care. We didn't care. We were
way
like,
to
you coming to work
real.
Tomorrow?
Way to keep it real. Okay.
And that's how
it's
he
true.
Knew.
You know, though, men know. We just know. We know who the one is. Now, even if we...
And it's your job to convince us.
Absolutely.
Convince me...
That you're different.
That you're different and right. that this is sincere.
And that you mean what you say.
It never stops,
And that's
though.
A part of the beautiful, you know, the whole... I love that part. Yeah. Convince me. Show up.
It never stops, though. Because for some reason, women are never really truly convinced. And I guess that keeps us on our toes.
Because y'all be taking like two steps forward and one step backward. That's why I think a lot of times you'll do like some great stuff and then all of a sudden you do something that's a red flag.
Mm. We men. You heard her just say that. We're men.
Yeah.
And then flawed. You know what guys love to say? Well, I'm a work in progress.
That's the
guy's
truth.
Favorite line.
It's the truth.
I'm a work in progress.
Until God puts a done stamp on me. No, I'm a work in progress.
We all are, but yeah, we can make decisions.
True.
And try our best to stick by them.
Like I'm like you said, your name is the album's Woman. I'm still trying to figure out why at this point in your life you feel like a woman. Because you've been married, you've got a child. Like,
yeah.
Why now?
I'm holding myself to another level of accountability. I think I used to blame whoever it was that hurt my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, they were wrong. You know, they did that to me. And now I hold myself accountable. A,
right.
You chose that person.
You accepted his excuses.
You accepted it. You went for it. You bit mm-hmm. into the apple.
Mm-hmm.
You bought the wooden nickel. You know what I'm saying? You did that. The accountability is a big position in being a woman and being an adult. Not just being an adult, but officially owning your womanhood.
Mm.
Because a lot of times we have these fantasies as girls of how it's going to be and who he's going to be. And if he hurts my feelings and he hurt my feelings, well, men have feelings too.
Mm-hmm.
They do. And it takes two to tango.
So are you in a relationship right now? Sips coffee.
Sips the cappuccino sent by Bill Cosby.
Listen, shut up.
Very interesting what you said, though, because you said you're taking accountability for you. So you can't be a woman, like a marriage don't make you a woman. Mm-mm. A child don't make you a woman. It has to be something within you.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes, and that takes time. You got to earn your stripes, you know? You got to get down on the ground, have a heartbreak, look at yourself. Really look at yourself. The choices that your mother made. How did you end up here? Why did you get here? And then start making some changes.
Right.
What do you think has contributed to your growth the most in your life? Like, if you could pinpoint one thing, and you said, this is what made me grow.
My son.
I knew it. Mm-hmm. Having a child, that'll do it.
My son. Yeah, because he sees me. Mm-hmm. It's not like I could front with him. Like, he sees me. I'm like, everything's all right, baby. He's like,
I just saw you crying.
He told me not too long ago, he told me that women have to tough up. I was telling him I was afraid. I was like, I'm scared. And he was just like, Mommy, women just have to tough up.
I don't know if it's that easy. I was just having this conversation with somebody yesterday about how women are so vulnerable. And you know, it's the same thing because I have a daughter, so you start to see different things. Women have different things they have to deal with, especially a black woman. They got to deal with racism and feminism, which is, that's kind of hard. Yeah. It kind of leaves you open all the time.
It can. Well, the thing is about being open is you have to, for me anyway, I believe that you have to make the decision on how much you open and where you do. You know, giving a little bit at a time. Giving a little bit. If you're in a relationship, why should he see everything? What happened, I'll say for me anyway, what happened for me is the kind of relationship that I had with the last dude I'm trying to have with the next dude, because that's the kind of relationship I like.
Right.
Well, it's a whole different person.
Right.
Mm. We're a whole different, you know, you're trying to date the same person in different skin, you know, or you are dating the same person in different skin. Mm-hmm. So you end up missing out on what you really need because you're looking at what you want.
Right.
Women look at what they need more than what they want.
Mm.
Necessity. Am I choosing a fabulous pair of shoes or am I choosing a healthy meal?
Mm.
Am I choosing this house that I can't afford or am I choosing to live within my life, in my budget, within my budget, within my circumstance, so I ain't got to worry? It's about making decisions. And I'm not saying you got to stick by them, but you have to look at the bigger picture than what you want right now, because that's what girls do. They're children.
Right.
And in a sense, you know what I mean? That's what kids do. Mm-hmm. Kids get what they want. They don't think about, I need to eat vegetables because, you know, I need to, you know, have a proper movement. Yeah. They don't think about stuff like that.
Let's take younger girls, if you don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's where kids are with it. And a lot of women, or I'll say a lot of grown girls, you know, they make their decisions on their life based on what they want, not what you need.
Right.
Do you think women know how much power they have? Because this is a thought that I have.
No.
I feel like if women came together and created an organization, I feel like they'd be more powerful than the ADL.
Everybody.
I think they'd be more powerful than GLAAD. Like, women can shut you down.
Yeah, we make decisions about what we're going to accept and what we won't. It'll change a whole lot of things in this society. A whole lot of change. If we decided that we don't like guys that show their underwear in the street, I'm going to give you about a good month.
Nobody's going to be showing their underwear in
Nobody's going to be showing their underwear.
I'm telling you.
If we make a decision and say that we need someone that reads a book that I can have a conversation with, we need that. It's a requirement before I even let you touch it.
Mm.
Things are going to change.
Right. I do feel like women set the tone in relationships.
In life.
In life.
Guys are only doing what girls accept. We dress a certain way because this is what girls like.
We get a certain car because girls like.
All of that. Girls have more power than they know. I don't know who's going to tell them that, though.
But that's what happens with girls. I mean, being a girl is an awesome, fun, crazy, wild, beautiful experience.
Except for when we got the mom about then.
But being a woman, there's something so fulfilling and so it's like somebody turned the light on. And you could just see, like, oh, that's where I've been bugging all of this time. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been, this dude, like, for instance, there's a song on the album called The Lighthouse. It's called mm-hmm. Lighthouse. And initially, she's saying that, you know, I'm here for you, you know, for whatever. I'm your rock. And it sounds like, to me, it sounds like, you know, they make love. That's what it sounds like. Musically, it does. But then afterwards, she has a moment where she's saying, I'm sitting here contemplating if we should even be. You know, I have a man that loves me. For me, he'd do anything easily, for his heart knows no boundaries. But he needs sometimes to write with a different pen on different paper. He needs
to cheat every now and then.
Listen. That thing right there.
You preaching some gospel this morning.
Listen. Girl.
So what you're saying is it's okay for a man to cheat.
I'm not saying
that's
that.
Not what she's saying.
I'm not saying that
at all.
I'm saying that he needs. Not every man needs to be a philanderer. Mm-hmm. Not every man has to have a whole bunch of women to feel solid in whom they are and who they are. Or just because they like it. You know what I mean? Not every man needs that. But if you have one of those, can you deal with that?
And that's your decision.
That is your decision. And once you make it, make it.
It shouldn't be your decision if the man's doing what he's supposed to do. And by that, I mean not getting caught cheating.
Well, not getting caught cheating?
Yes.
In this case, she knows that he needs to do that.
Right. And I personally, as a woman, I don't want to live in a relationship where you got secrets, that you have this other life that I'm not privy to. If you have another life, go to that other life. Because I'm trying to be your ace.
You'd be surprised what if you tell a woman you want and need from a relationship that they might really be okay with it. Rather than if you do it without saying anything and then she finds out and now you have a secret from me.
Don't
and somebody
fall
has
that
information.
Trap, fellas. Listen to that information.
It is true.
It is true.
But also I believe that that's the difference between dealing with a woman and a girl.
Mm-hmm.
A girl
will be all for that.
I don't know. For the time being, a woman might be all for it too. Listen. Just to be clear with you, I'm not judgmental. I'm not. What I do is I make observations
True.
About people, life, and things. That's my job. I'm a journalist that happens to sing the reports. That's what I do. If you're honest about what you need, you just might get it. You just might get it. And be happy.
Now don't go home and jump off the...
Hell no, I'm listening. Like, nope, I'm not going to do it.
Well, then that's a decision.
No, I'm happy. I'm very happy.
Right, but
anything.
I mean...
I don't need anything. I'm happy.
Because she's listening to this one.
Believe me, I'm
just got...
I'm definitely in a position to get exactly what it is that I want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's got to be. Not want. Forgive me. I've had what I wanted.
Need.
What I need. What I need.
What does a woman need?
I don't know about everyone.
What does Jill Scott need?
I need a partner. I need somebody that can understand what it is that my life is, that can check me, and not in a disrespectful way or mm-hmm. woman bow down kind of way, but yo, you need to chill for a minute, for real. And then the mutual respect that says to me, you have nothing in you that wants harm for me. Nothing. You love me. Let me sit down for a minute and trust and have faith in that. That's what I need. I need that kind of relationship.
Right.
I need somebody who likes to go to Lowe's. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like to fix stuff around my house. Participate.
That's funny.
You know what I'm saying? I need someone who's going to show up to the crib with some paper towels. You know what I mean? Some toilet paper. Like, you're going to be here.
Right.
You know, you're not going to use paper towels?
You know you can just get an au pair, right?
Listen, I'm just, no. I need my ace. Mm. You know what I mean? Someone that really understands and enjoys and loves the things that I love and wants to support the things that I love and has things that I love about them that they want me to support them in, and I enjoy it.
And it sounds so simple.
It's so simple. It's so simple. It's really not rocket science. We put all this other stuff on it. Oh,
true.
He gotta have a six pack and a Bugatti.
Yeah.
He gotta have this, that, and that, and all of this stuff. That at the end of the day, it looks nice, but that whip can be crashed. Mm-hmm. That house can be burnt. You know, those abs, I mean, let them eat too much or not work out or whatever, they disappear. And what do you have? All of your wants are checked, they're gone. And now you got this guy with none of the stuff that you wanted.
That's not at Lowe's with me, that's not bringing over no toilet paper.
No, that's not participating in life.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to participate in life. We want to live, right? Right? That means that maybe you cook tonight. Maybe we have a chef. maybe I cook. Maybe you mop the floor. I'm just saying, in order for things to stay at some modicum of normalcy, which I believe in, I don't want to get too fancy that I forget that I'm Joyce's daughter.
Gotcha.
And Bill's child. I don't want to forget that.
I could tell you grew up around a lot of loving relationships. Like you saw a lot of healthy, loving relationships.
And I loved seeing it. I love seeing it. I don't know how it is that, I'm gonna tell you what happened. As a girl, I forgot what was important. I'm supposed to be adored. You're supposed to be adored. Your wife is supposed to be adored. Mm-hmm. Like the flower. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know.
Right.
When you are loved and appreciated for not for having your weave tight today, and it might not be, or your nails done, or you know, the pooch might be sitting out today, right, or whatever the case is, like have someone that appreciates who you are regardless. That means it's past being male or female. It's love.
Mm-hmm.
It's way past that. I think we put a lot of, for lack of a better, we put a lot of all on things that really matter.
Right.
So that's, you know, I'm sorry if I sound like I'm preaching to you. That's really not my intention.
I love it, man. You need to come out with a book.
It's still not my intention. I'm just hanging out with these older chicks.
This all has to do with the album Woman. And you wanted to know why the album is called Woman. And these are all the reasons.
Thank you. I was a long way around.
It's all good.
But, you know.
When you get in the talk show, man?
I'm not.
Like you need to. You gotta give like this wisdom.
You
has
know
to
how
be
busy Jill Scott
sit
is
to the masses. For everybody that is not listening to your music, which you should be, but for some people, just need to hear your wisdom. I feel like you're full of knowledge and wisdom, and you got a nice warm motherly feel.
I think through your music and your performances, that is like
my talk show for mm-hmm. a while. You know,
nah, you need a talk show. You could be the new Oprah. Yo. And you got, it's like when you talk, it's like I feel like you're gonna burp me, and then let me lay on your bosom. Like, just, you know what I mean? Like, it's just warm.
Maybe. I don't know. There's much to do. There's a lot to do. I'm really excited about my future.
All right.
I'm really excited about that. So just in case something happens and somebody tells you that I killed myself. No, on everything. I'm telling you on everything ever good that ever happened in my life, that is something that I would not do. Feel me? Anybody hear me out there?
Yes. Andrew,
all right, I'm just saying.
Right.
I'm just saying. Just in case somebody says that I did that.
I'm saying right here that definitely 100% did not happen.
Do you have
I'm
those
willing
concerns?
To go through the fire.
Do you have those concerns now? Being a black woman?
Like, of course. Of course. How do we not have those concerns?
That's what I was saying. Black women are very vulnerable. Like my homeboy was like, women got all the power. I'm saying they do, but they're still so vulnerable.
Do you understand how much we need you, brothers? Do you grasp how necessary you are. Do you see what's happening with our kids? Are you paying attention?
Absolutely.
That they're building more prisons and tearing down schools? Do you see what's happening? How necessary you are. Not just your presence, but your voice and your command. We need you wide awake. We need you so desperately, so deeply. Whatever it is that you have planned, keep it in the dark. Revolution does not happen in the light. It happens in the dark, and there's normally some smoke involved. I'm just saying. Jazz was not invented in the broad daylight. It was invented in small, tiny places with a lot of smoke in the air, and people were being themselves. You can't videotape it. You can't blog about it. You can't do any of that stuff. It has to be quiet and focused. And then you bring in people who mean and do good, that are focused on that. Not just everybody because it looks nice.
Yeah, not just people that want to hashtag on Twitter and Instagram and post pictures with the hashtag.
That's true.
Right, right. If we want to make a change, it's got to be done quietly.
You got to conceal your intention.
First, focus the direction and then make that direction happen. Focus. Bring in people that you need. What do you need? You need people that thoroughly understand the law and all the addendums and amendums and all that other foolishness that are added to laws. You need somebody that understands it, really, really understands it. Then you need, I'm not sure about politicians. I don't know.
I don't think you need politicians.
I don't either.
I guess you kind of do, though, because when you look at people like Martin Luther King Jr., he needed John F. Kennedy and Lyndon B. Johnson to make the Civil Rights Act of 1964 happen. So you kind of do for, like, laws of the land, but
yeah.
I don't think you do for revolution.
Right.
For true revolution.
And it it has no color. Revolution doesn't have a color. It is people deciding that what is happening is incorrect.
Absolutely.
It's not beneficial to the society. It's not beneficial to the people.
Mm-hmm.
When foods have more stuff than food in them.
Right. I was just talking about this yesterday.
That's cray cray.
Mm-hmm.
How do you expect people to thrive and grow and survive and be sane? How do you expect that?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Jill Scott, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm sorry if I got heavy on you.
Oh, no,
you love it. That's what you're here for.
I'm sorry.
Woman. I wanted to ask you about BJ the Chicago Kid. He's the only.
Love him.
Yeah, he's the only feature. Why is that?
Because he's amazing.
I like BJ the Chicago Kid, but I was just wondering what made you decide he was the one feature for the album.
There were a lot of people that I tried. BJ, first of all, I fell in love to his first record, Pineapple Now Laters, which is still one of my favorite records of all time. I heard his voice, and it's so reminiscent of everything that's good about music, and he's got this clear understanding of what soul is. I'm excited about him. So he's out on the road with me now.
Right.
You know, I try to walk my walk, babe. You know what I'm saying?
I'm with you.
So, you know, he was the only feature on the album just because Ninth Wonder is involved. And I was like, I just like how this feels. This feels beautiful. And I wanted to give him a shout out. I wanted to support him because I think he's amazing.
All right, good. I just need to make sure we put that out there.
Yeah. I feel like you and Killer Mike need to do like a revolutionary record together.
Listen, I'm about that run of Jules life, okay? I am so. Did you hear Uzi?
Absolutely. Killer Mike, one of my favorite ever.
Did you? I'm talking about David Banner's Uzi. You have to.
Oh no,
play.
I heard Banner.
It's David Banner and Big Crit.
No, I haven't heard that yet. I need to listen to that.
I got to play that every time. Right before I perform, I have to play that, and it's on repeat. Loving that.
Dope.
And obviously, you know, Run of Jewels. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate your thought. Thank you.
Word.
But Jill Scott album is in stores now.
Woman.
Check her out on the road.
Wait.
And?
There's one more.
Do it.
Please, please, please. Okay. I don't want to forget Pusha T.
Okay.
At all. That man has a perspective and he paints it like a surgeon. it's precise how he paints his pictures. I love that. Do I agree or understand everything that or you know what I'm saying? I've never been in that trap life. I don't get it, you know, for myself, but I appreciate the story.
Do you
so want to
do
much.
A record with him or something?
I did.
Okay.
I did, and I need people to look for it. It is Fool's Gold with the remix with Pusha T.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I got to check for that.
Please do.
Absolutely.
All right, well, thank you, Jessica. We really appreciate
Jilly
you coming
from Philly.
Through.
I'm glad to see you.
Always a pleasure when you come by.
Your skin looks beautiful.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Dr. Natasha Sandy. She's a great dermatologist.
And doesn't Jill Scott look good, by the way?
Jill Scott is one of the baddest out here. Mm-hmm. Her and Janelle Monáe. It's the Breakfast Club, Jill Scott.